Chapter 9. Jake and Brian met for a few beers to discuss Declan Hughes' proposal that afternoon. The decision was easier to make than they had expected. It was made before they even ordered their second round. "Here's my thing," Brian said. "If a dude like Declan Hughes is so willing to buy the business and offer all these benefits, he must be seeing something promising. He knows this sudden success isn't a fluke. So why sell the business to him now and enjoy our spoils for a small amount of time when we can keep the business and enjoy the success for as long as we can keep it going?" The bar was quiet. It was a Tuesday night, and even with the college students in, the place was dead, and they spoke in hushed tones. It was a somber sort of environment, and it seemed to match the conversation perfectly. To Brian, it seemed like a pivotal moment in a movie that, for some reason, always seemed to take place in hushed restaurants. Jake smiled and gave Brian a pat on the back.
"I'm thinking exactly the same thing. Sure, it's hard as hell to turn down that instant money, but fine print is ours. Based on what I'm seeing, and Clara, apparently, we're doing just fine without the help of people like Declan Hughes."
That was the extent of the meeting. They finished it up in their usual fashion, a game of darts and a final round of beers. They even seemed to be blessed at the game of darts, landing bullseye after bullseye. During the round of darts, they began to discuss how they would handle the call they would make tomorrow, a phone call where they would inform Declan Hughes that they would not be accepting his offer. The call went as well as they could have hoped. They put the call on speakerphone so Clara could hear it. The call was made from the graphics department, which had basically become the main office ever since they had actually gotten landlines in the store, rather than relying on their personal cell phones. From the tone of Declan's voice, it was apparent that he had not been expecting to be rejected. Jake got the impression from his tone and snippy responses that he was not used to being told no.
"I'm afraid this is a one-time offer," Declan said, his tone flat and borderline angry.
"We understand that," Jake said. "And we appreciate your interest in fine print, but we feel like this is the right choice to make."
"Well then, all the best," Declan said,
but his tone did not indicate that he truly felt this way. And with that, Declan Hughes hung up. Even the click of the dead line sounded angry. Jake, Brian, and Clara all looked at one another in silence. There was an odd sense of accomplishment in the room, but it was also evident in Brian's body language that there was also regret. Did they really just walk away from that much money and the promise of a decent salary no matter what? Yes, they did. And in that moment, they all got the true meaning of just how much potential fine print really had. It was also that moment that helped them to realize that fine print was their creation and that the success of it was theirs to share and enjoy. Roughly 1 month following their game-changing phone call to Declan Hughes, fine print had the busiest week of their half a year of business. They had 3 online orders that, in total, came out to 20,000 shirts. On top of that, the college had placed an order for their annual fall gala. It was an order for t-shirts, sweatshirts, and even polo shirts that came to a total of $4,000. During that week, everyone worked overtime. Miles and Al stayed late at night with Brian while Jake and Clara handled things during the day. The shifts weren't well defined, and Brian ended up working a 60-hour week when it was all said and done. Because of their pride and dedication to fine print, they gladly worked the long hours and knocked out each order on time. During the after-hours work, they often played loud music and had a very laid-back atmosphere. Miles got to the point where he actually requested after-hours work for this reason. But the real surprise of the week came on Sunday morning. Jake was the first to discover it. He woke up around 10 in the morning, slightly hungover from a night out with Al and some of his college friends. He ate a hasty breakfast and went online to check sports scores and his personal email. When he logged out of his personal mail and logged into the fine print account, he did a double take at the screen. He had a mouthful of coffee at the time that he nearly choked on in surprise. There were 19 new order confirmations in their inbox. This was surprising to him because yesterday at 4 in the afternoon, there had been only one. Still in slight shock, Jake opened each order, his eyes widening at some. Here was an order for 2,000 t-shirts with a 3-color print. Here was another for 4,000 with a simple 1-color print. As he looked through them, still in shock, his cell phone rang.
"Yeah," he said in a distant voice.
"Jake," Clara said from the other end, "have you checked the company email yet?"
"Doing it now," he said, noting her excitement.
"Thoughts?"
It's awesome. Sort of overwhelming, but awesome. I wonder what the hell happened. How do we get so many orders in such a short time?"
"That's why I'm calling. I was checking Fine Print's Facebook page yesterday, updating it and sending out links as usual. I saw that we'd been tagged in a post from someone who sounded familiar. I checked, and it was from a company in New York that we did some shirts for 2 weeks ago.
This company is a very trendy company with a lot of young and tech-savvy customers. They have a huge online brand and really loyal clients. Anyway, they tagged us in a post that said, "Got our t-shirts from Fine Print today, and they are awesome. We highly recommend these guys." And from what I can tell, that post went viral. It was read by over 6,000 people. Oh my Even as he said that, another order confirmation mail popped up. "So," Jake said, "do you have a second to go through all these in the end and figure out exactly how much we need to order first thing tomorrow morning?" "You're the boss," Clara said with a laugh. The excitement in the air in Fine Print was thick and contagious for the week that followed. During the course of Sunday, those 19 orders turned into 31. When everyone reported to work, the number climbed to 34. Brian and Miles started breaking down the order in which they would need to print the jobs, while Clara and Jake went through inventory and placed the orders for the shirts. Meanwhile, Al was working on a design that was due at the end of the day in the graphics department. They stayed consistently busy but didn't need to work after hours. Orders kept coming in, and they were already preparing to order another manual press at the end of the month. Things were looking better than ever for Fine Print. 8 days after the day they received 31 orders, the phone began to ring. It had been ringing a lot as of late, with another customer on the other line 9 times out of 10. Clara answered it with her usual cheer. "It's a great day at Fine Print. This is Clara. How can I help you?"
"Yes, my name is Sandra Emerson. I'm a copyright attorney with Walt Disney Properties. I'm calling about a shirt your company printed earlier this year for a college fraternity."
"Okay," Clara said. Her heart was sinking in her chest. To have a copyright attorney call was not a good sign, and to have one calling on behalf of Disney was absolutely terrifying. She was thinking back, trying to recall any orders in which they had used a character with any resemblance to a Disney character. She was coming up with nothing. "Yeah," she thought, "but they did some jobs before they hired you. What about that? Maybe they did this job before you came in."
"Is the owner of the company available?"
Sandra Emerson asked. Clara glanced behind her toward the graphics department and the print room. She did not want to be the one to tell them that there was a copyright attorney on the phone. She'd learned a bit about copyrights in college and knew that even if this was a mistake of some sort, the entire process could be a real pain in the ass.
"What did you guys do before you hired me? What sort of mess have you gotten yourselves into?"
"Sure," she said. "Please hold."
Clara placed Mrs. Emerson on hold and started walking slowly to the back of the shop. Her hands were sweaty and her knees were trembling. She went to the graphics department first. She opened the door and saw Jake and Al huddled over Jake's computer working on a job.
"Hey, Jake," she said.
"Yeah," Jake said, looking away from the screen.
He saw right away that something was bothering her. He gave her a curious look and said,
"What's wrong?"
"There's someone on the phone for you," she said.
"And it's not good."